This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Julia Jacobs, joined by Dashan Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier in our first segment, we were talking about International Day of Older Persons. And now in our second segment, we're going to tackle Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes, so we have a poll running on Twitter at BFM Radio, and we are asking you, have you ever gone for a mammogram? And right now, about 9% of y'all say yes, and 90% of y'all say no. So you can keep sending us your thoughts and taking the poll at BFM Radio, or also WhatsApping us at 018-789-8899.
So the month of October usually turns pink every year to commemorate Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and this annual observance is aimed at increasing attention and support for the awareness, early detection, detection and treatment, as well as palliative care of breast cancer.
Yes, and breast cancer is probably one of the more well-known cancers. And fortunately, conversations about breast cancer are a lot more open and candid today. Women and their families have plenty of opportunities to seek information, advice and support about the disease. And wearing the pink ribbon has, you know, even become a trendy show of support for the cause.
And this wasn't always the case, of course. In the early 20th century, the disease was widely regarded as taboo and something to be suffered in silence but never to be talked about. But this started to change from the 1930s onwards thanks to advancements in breast cancer treatments that were developed almost every decade. Radiotherapy, for example, came along as a viable therapy beside surgery. And then mammography was developed to detect cancer. And mammography has been a groundbreaking advancement that has saved countless lives.
Yes, and then in the 70s, the Women's Liberation Movement allowed for more conversations about women's bodies and autonomy over their health. And the 90s really saw the boom of breast cancer advocacy. Survivors came to the forefront, driving the call for research funding, better policies, and more social and financial support for patients.
But despite all this progress, breast cancer still places a heavy burden on individuals, families, and healthcare systems. Some 2.1 million new cases are recorded globally every year. Women and men still lose their lives to this disease. In 2018, over 600,000 deaths worldwide were due to breast cancer.
And with all these statistics, though, it's easy to forget that people behind, the people behind the numbers. Every statistic is a person who has a family, friends, a career or a vocation, and all these are inevitably affected by the cancer.
And they have a long journey to go through, you know, from the time of diagnosis, throughout treatment, and even during recovery. So to find out what kind of support breast cancer survivors need, we have on the line Vijayalakshmi Silvathurai, Head of Clinical and Peer Support from the Melaka branch of the National Cancer Society of Malaysia. Hi Vijaya, thanks for joining us. Can you share with us what kind of support do breast cancer patients need at the time of diagnosis, and how does NCSM's peer support community work with them?
Okay. Here in Melaka, we call the counselors navigators. We navigate with the patients for about a year. So the minute the patients are told, we have actually a room within the premises of the breast clinic itself. So the minute the patient is told that they are going for a biopsy or for mastectomy or lumpectomy or any other treatment, they are referred to us immediately. So that is the time that they need us the most, not like an hour or a day later, but the minute after they are told, they are immediately referred. So we give counseling with the family. The caregivers are also invited into the room and we sit with them and talk to them. Because at that particular time, the patient is in deep shock because the word cancer is normally associated in most patients with the word death. Mm. So it is very, very important that mental, emotional, and sometimes to show them where financial aid can be also procured during this difficult times ahead for them. Mm. And to let them know, let's take each step at a time. That let's not look at the whole picture to the end of the day like radiotherapy and think, okay, if you're going for biopsy, let's prepare the patient for biopsy so that they are clear. We will do one step, then we will go to step B, then C, and so forth. And all our navigators go travel with one patient throughout the year with them. So that gives them continuity and strength. And also we try to empower the patient to fight against cancer.
And Vijaya, how important is family support and how do you work with families?
Family is the most important thing because I'm also a survivor, and I remember the day that I was returning from my biopsy and I looked at my husband and asked him, would you love me if I have only one breast without batting an eyelid? He replied, I fell in love with you, not with your breast. Mm-hmm. When I was losing my hair, I decided to go bald. And when I went to have it bald, my son went bald with me. So that showed strength and togetherness in the family. That is why from day one, we always invite caregivers to be present. Sometimes if the caregivers are not in the hospital with them, we then have private counseling with the caregivers at our NCSM office. In some cases, there will be, actually, the family is broken even before the cancer. And we are happy to say that in many, many cases, I can name numerous cases where families have been brought together because of cancer. The patients have got together. I know of a family where the husband and wife were living in two separate homes. And by the second chemo, the husband was coming every visit with them. They have strengthened their marriage. And this is the same with children, where they have gone away, they've come back. But without family, the families struggle very much. They struggle. It is not only financially or otherwise, but mainly it is because they need the emotional support. They need to be told that they are loved, they are wanted, they are needed. That is very important, and that comes from family.
And from your personal experience and from your work with NCSM, Vijaya, how do survivors want to be treated by doctors and nurses?
As human beings, first and foremost, to be called by our name, to know where we are at our diagnosis that we are doing. And then whenever we are going for a treatment, before a treatment, let us know what's happening, what they're going to be doing, so that the patient is a little prepared, not just take them from the ward and maybe take them to CT scan without knowing where they are going. Or if the doctor is coming to take blood or to take some samples or give the chemotherapy, to let them talk to them instead of just sitting there. Talk to them. I have given a lot of my patients, I always tell them, when they start chemotherapy, if your doctor is not talking to you, then you close your eyes and go to your most favorite place that you want to. I always tell many doctors, why don't you ask them what they have eaten, what is their favorite cinema? Talk to them, because when you take their mind from this and they are focusing on something else, actually they feel less pain. When they say something, saying that they have a pain here or something, take interest, take care, and value their description and their worries and address it. Mm. Don't neglect it. Don't say, no, they don't know anything. This is what is normal. Just address it, because it allays their fear so, so very much. Work together so that the patient has an easier time during their cancer.
So as colleagues, as friends and members of the community, what can we do when someone we know has been diagnosed with cancer?
Let's all work together to take away the stigma the word cancer has. Mm. Cancer has been for a long time associated with death. Why do you go and see a colleague, friend or relative and say, how long has the doctor given you? When are you going to die? Or you look so thin, you have lost more hair. The survivor knows it. She's seeing it in the mirror every day. Oh, don't go there to sell supplements or become a nutritional expert. You are not. Be there as a friend, as a confidant. Go there and say, okay, I'll take your kids to my house and have a sleepover. I've come today and I'm going to sweep the house and put the clothes to wash. What are you planning to cook for lunch? You sit down and rest. I'll cook the meal. Come and play games with them. Bring a movie and say, we are going to watch half the movie today. Now come next week and we'll watch the other movie. I'll do your marketing. I'll do your cooking for you. I will come with you for chemo. this is what we want. Bring support, bring awareness, bring a lot of help that they can be given. I have taught families with small children. There are four children and there are three rooms in the house. I tell the husband, buy four brooms. Let each child sweep a room. Give a have a chart. And then at the end of the month, say, who kept the room very clean? And give a bar of Kit Kat or anything like that. Teach them to work together. Teach them to fold the clothes together. Actually, parents, survivors with young children or very old survivors are the ones who have a tough time. Because the older survivors, the families would have gone married or have gone working to other towns. Young survivors have small children, so they have to look after the young children as well as themselves. So this is the hardest part. So for that, we need to support. We do not have places where we can go and have a rest. Even caregivers don't have a place in Malaysia where they can just say, okay, 2 days, I need to just go in Lepa and come back. There's no such place. So we as the community must help the people in the family have a little bit of respite. And so don't say things that will be negative to them. Boost their morale higher if possible.
Okay, before we let you go, Vijaya, would you like to leave us with a message this Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Yes. There's life after cancer, and life after cancer can be beautiful. Make it beautiful for yourself. Thank you.
Thank you, Vijaya. You just heard from Vijaya Lakshmi Silvaturai, head of clinical and peer support from the Malacca branch of the National Cancer Society of Malaysia.
What a lovely message to leave us with. Thank you, Vijaya, for that. And, you know, what she shared was an important reminder to us that really every person with breast cancer is different. You know, we mustn't see them as just a statistic or, you know, define them through the lens of the disease. What we need to do is support them in the ways that they need. And, you know, before we wrap up, we thought that we'd each find an interesting fact about breast cancer to share with you. So here's mine. The biggest risk factor for getting breast cancer is simply being a woman and getting older. So for every woman listening, you should go for a mammogram from the age of 40 onwards. And as for how regularly you should go for one, check with your doctor because it depends on your individual risk factors.
Yes, and what I found out is that men can get breast cancer too. It is rare and usually only affects men above the age of 60, but it's not something to ignore or joke about if you have a family history of breast cancer among your female relatives, or even if you don't. There's no harm in regularly checking yourself. So things you want to look out for is probably lumps, anything unusual relating to the nipples or the breast tissue around it.
And here's my fact. Well, if it's detected early enough, breast cancer is often curable. Now, everyone, and that includes young women and men, should just become familiar with their breast tissue so that you will know when something doesn't feel right, and then you can immediately go and get it checked out. So if you want to find out more or really just to reach out for peer support, you can visit the National Cancer Society of Malaysia's website. That's at cancer.org.my.
All right. And, you know, if you have any thoughts and you'd like to continue sharing with us, you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. That's all the time we have for today, though. If you'd like to drop us, you know, the Bigger Picture team a message, you can look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. If you miss any part of the show, or you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can search for us on the BFM app. We're on Spotify and also on Apple. And coming up at 3 p.m. on Front Row, Shamila Ganesan will be speaking to artist Najib Ahmad Barmadaj about his latest body of works that were inspired, interestingly, by Jane Austen's novel Pride and Prejudice. So that's coming up after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we're going to leave you with Brian Wilson and You've Got a Friend in Me. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.